top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we'll do that. Those are the rules around here. Checking in at
number five.
This is a startling statistic. You hear about this now more and more and more. In the city of Chicago, if you murder somebody, you have a 50-50 shot of getting away with it.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't.
No.
You don't.
You don't. I don't. No. Yeah.
But experts say that the key reason is lack of cooperation and mistrust of police. Or because witnesses are afraid of speaking out. Chicago police clear fewer homicides in departments in other big cities, especially in gang-related and in murder-prone neighborhoods, right?
Chicago also has fewer detectives than major cities. If you look per capita, even compare us to L.A. or New York, we have far fewer detectives working for CPD than you do have in those other cities. And there have been efforts to sort of change that, but they also have a lot of new young detectives who come on the force to replace retiring ones with experience, and I don't care what you say, I think that matters. It's a piece of the puzzle here.
It is a piece of the puzzle. Another piece of the puzzle is lack of cooperation.
No question.
From people in the communities in which this is happening. And WGN-TV's Ben Bradley's investigative series, Getting Away with Murder, he spoke with a person who witnessed their own family member getting killed, but refused to talk to the police.
You know of three murders,
mm-hmm,
just on this block or two.
Yep.
One of them was your brother.
One was my brother, one was my cousin, and one was a close friend to my uncle.
Let me ask the tough question. If you witnessed a murder, would you cooperate with police?
Oh, no. I ain't going.
Why not?
I witnessed my brother murder. The detectives came, that's on my brother's case, came to my house, to my school. Not for what? You're going to leave it in the streets. If you do what you do in these streets, you can't be going to talk to the police. If the police don't get it right, don't get them, the streets going to get them.
And they got your brother's killer. But you can't think that's right.
I don't think it's right, but you live by that sword, you die by that sword.
Hmm. Explains it right there. His own brother murdered. He wouldn't go cooperate with police on that. It's just, I mean, there's fear of retaliation. There's the sense that you don't want justice, you want street justice, and that's the way it's done. It's just,
plus, how do you fix it? It's a vicious cycle.
Well, I had an officer friend of mine tell me he went to a hospital room to interview a dying young man and asked him, tell me who shot you. Tell me who shot you. Is it so-and-so? And he would not tell him, even though he knew he was about to die.
I've heard stories like that from cops, too, that have been in situations where they're standing over someone who is dying on the street. Because just because somebody gets shot a number of times doesn't mean they're dead immediately. It's not like the movies.
And they'll
right?
ask them because they know. They know in a lot of cases.
I mean, they're dying.
Right?
What difference does it make at that point?
Their family, I suppose, could there should be retaliation. But it's also just different rules. You heard him say that. You live by the sword, you die by the sword.
It's never going to end. And, you know, we could sit around and blame the police department or blame the society as a whole or blame the economy or blame. But there's a billion different ways to create anxiety amongst law-abiding citizens about what's going on. The reality is it's an alternate universe. There's an alternate economy. Most of this is happening in a community where the members of this community, it's not a racial community, it's an economic unit of people who are living and dying by drug trade and all the rest of the things that make their money, and life and death is done by their rules and nobody else's rules. They only live by theirs. So it's a totally separate world. We'll get to your 4, 3, 2, and 1, but first, Lauren Lapko, what's happening on the roads and in the skies? Top 5-5 continues on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to play you
number 4.
Because I really don't want to hear about Kathy Lee Gifford's sex life, but she couldn't help herself. She returned to the Today Show, fourth hour, or whatever the hell that is, and she and Hoda Kotb used to hold forth, and now it's Hoda and Jenna Bush, right?
Jenna Bush is on that show. Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. So I don't know. Somehow we had to find out, what's Kathy's sex life like in retirement?
I went out with friends to a club to hear my favorite band down there, the Smoking Section. Tim Akers in the Smoking Section.
What?
So I went to hear them. And this sweet guy asked me to dance, and so I said, okay. And then he just disappeared into the crowd. I said, okay. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, same band, Tim Akers in the Smoking Section. And he follows it. Yeah. Yeah. So we danced again, and then we just went out a couple of times. It was fun because I hadn't been on a date in 33 years.
Yeah, what was the first date
It's
like?
Surreal. You know, it's surreal because the world's changed so much, you know, and but he was he's a gentleman. So it was fine. It was fine. It was fun. But then I got so busy and we're just from different worlds.
So Kathy Lee shows up on your Tinder feed. You swipe right or swipe left?
I swipe right.
You can swipe right?
Yeah.
On that?
Just out of the interest.
Yeah.
And to say that you dated her.
Oh, my God.
The world has changed.
Are Cody and Cassidy involved in that band? You know, remember she would always talk about her kids, Cody and Cassidy?
Yeah, she did not
stop talking about that? Oh, Reege.
She did. She talked about her kids a lot.
Yeah. So they must
took a lot of heat for that.
Can you look up that band and see if the kids are in the band? Because there's no reason that she can't.
Really?
Well, she's only 66. Totally with swipe right.
Wait, is this the band? This is a Bruno Mars song. It's not a Bruno Mars song. Oh dear God, they're awful. They're like a late night television band from the 70s.
Want something you could dance to. This hit that ice cold, Michelle. You were right. You're totally right. This one for them hood
girls, them good girls, straight men. Can you look up a Cody or Cassidy Gifford are in this band, please? Oh my God!
I'd hit the dance floor with Kathy Lee Gifford.
Oh, you would with that? Yeah. All right. And Kathy, I'm guessing Kathy Lee Gifford sort of dances in that sort of 70s swaying sort of, like, you know,
totally.
Where she's always twisting and twirling while the guy's doing the white guy overbite and just kind of just basically just moving his arms without moving anything else. That's how I see that.
As long as she's having fun. I don't see any pictures. I see the pictures on Facebook of Tim Akers in the Smoking Section. Doesn't look like, no, her kids are of age. They're much younger than most of the members of this band.
Okay. All right.
It's quite a big band, though. It's like 16 people.
Maybe Cody or Cassidy are the attorney for the band. That is my guess. All right. Oh, God. Something about her. Checking in at
number three.
Final season of Empire is underway, and Taraji P. Henson is sharing her thoughts on doing an Empire reunion show. Wait, it's not even over yet. Why do we have to talk about a reunion? We haven't even stopped the show. Oh, forget. What the? She says she wants the entire cast to be a part of it, including, don't get me started.
Nope.
Jussie Smollett.
Oh, absolutely. We have to see Jussie. I feel like there's really no way to wrap this show up without him. He was such and is such an integral part, you know, of the show. And we miss him dearly. We miss him dearly. That character was very important to our show, especially for the LGBT community, you know. So we're trying to keep him alive without him being there. I know Cookie is, you know, because that was her baby. Still is her baby. And he's my baby still in real life.
Oh, my.
They're standing by him.
Don't get me started!
Maybe there will be Subway.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the finale, his scene's got to be in a Subway. If he makes the cut.
Involving a tuna sandwich that he doesn't drop while he fends off some armed attackers.
Right.
He should come running in with a noose around his neck and a Subway sandwich in his hand and go, you're not going to believe what just happened to me right now! It was a polar vortex! Guys in MAGA hats!
Grab my tuna sandwich!
Still got my tuna sandwich. You want some?
The foot long.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Here's what we've learned. We have learned that the big lie works. This is pretty much true from the 20th century on in the media age. If somebody repeats the same thing over and over and over again, people just stop asking the question because they move on to other things. And then and what is not true then becomes truth. And unless it's constantly confronted, which is why I always bring this up, because he has now convinced Hollywood that Chicago police made the whole thing up, that he was actually attacked and they made all these other details.
You think if you really ask people there that they really think that this wasn't something he made up. I think.
Do you think you'll see him on television?
I don't think his cast members are going to say that because they're going to back him.
Right. But isn't that the point?
Well, but I think you've seen even, you know, some senior people in Hollywood say that didn't seem right. That wasn't right, what he did.
Don't you think within a year, Jesse Smollett gets his own show or some other opportunity, right?
Yeah, I just wish he'd kind of own up to it and here and say an apology. I think that's what everyone in Chicago felt like. You just sort of took advantage of the city, dragged the name through the mud. It didn't need that. We already have our issues. And then you took off and it just felt like should have been handled in a different way from the state, from all the way up through the legal system and through the way he and his agent handled it and his lawyers.
Yeah, we don't give him a break until he does everything you just said.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Just not going to let the big lie survive. Right. No matter who says it. You know it's not true, it's got to get called out.
That's right. I agree with that.
All right. Checking in at
number two.
Jeff Garlin, friend of the show. You know, he's on, of course, Curb Your Enthusiasm and the Goldbergs and all that. Mm-hmm. He shot a comedy special here in Chicago, as a matter of fact. He was with us in the studio right before he did it. And he said he invited, we actually sent some of our audience to this comedy special. And it's called Jeff Garlin, Our Man in Chicago.
You know, comes up to me all the time and tells me they love me like I'm their favorite. Naked guys. If I'm at the gym, a naked guy will come up to me in the locker room and go, oh, I love Kirk. I love you. I love the Goldbergs. Whatever. I think there should be a sign in every locker room that says, nudity permitted, but with a destination. You know, you're going to the shower, naked. Back to your locker room to get dressed, naked. There's too many people in locker rooms just standing naked. There's always a hand on the hip. Waiting for Jeff Garlin to come to the locker room. Let him know how I feel.
Oh, gosh, can you imagine?
This is interesting. These are his thoughts on the whole debate about whether or not people have become too sensitive, if we're in a, you know, cancel culture, and whether celebrities should be taken down, or comedians specifically should be taken down for things they say or tweet.
My comedy has not changed one iota, and anyone who's funny, their comedy has not changed one iota. You know why? Funny is funny. And some people are going to find things offensive or whatever, but if they're funny, more so than shocking and offensive, you're good. The idea that we're living in a society where nothing's funny anymore, wrong. Everything is funny, and it's still just as funny as it ever was, and I feel no handcuffs, no boundaries.
It's an interesting perspective. It's kind of the theory that it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And he's always been one of those comedians who's done that. There, you don't take him, I mean, his presentation is so over the top, as you just heard, that it's hard to say, oh, well, you know, we must take him very seriously. I think that's the problem. People do take things seriously that they shouldn't be taking seriously. If it's attempted to be funny. Some things are funnier than others.
Well, some comedians also rely heavily on sexual jokes or toilet humor or things that are
uncomfortable. What is wrong with toilet humor?
I'm just saying those are the comedians that are getting mad saying that people are too sensitive. It's like, no, try a little harder.
Right. It's easy.
Well, okay. All right. Well, I guess I'm going to have to. All right. Checking in at
number one.
Hell hath no fury like a Brigitte Nielsen scorned.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
The 56-year-old actress is revealing that she is not a fan of Madonna. She was on The Talk, and she was asked about her recent late appearance at a concert in New York. The singer, Madonna does that 10:30 show instead of the 8:30 show, that whole thing.
Even like on a school night, she does that?
In which she told annoyed concert goers this.
Here's something that you all need to understand, and that is that a queen is never late.
A queen is never late. That's what she tells her audiences. Mm-hmm. Even though she's getting sued in Cook County.
She is?
Yeah, she's getting... Somebody filed a suit here about the Chicago theater shows because he couldn't get his money back for the tickets after they were printed at 8:30 and it was going to be... She didn't actually get on until close to midnight that night, so he's suing, saying he couldn't sell the tickets. So there you have it. But wait, here's...
Queen is never late, bro.
Queen is never late. So Brigitte Nielsen held back no punches
That is ridiculous and uncalled for.
Yeah.
I don't care what's done. She's not the queen.
That's right.
It's not okay. There's very sweet fans, ordinary people that take planes, spend their hard saved money on going to see. It's not okay.
Right.
And just a little thing, in 1987, I was at a club downtown with her, and she kept stepping on my feet. She was very rude, and I ended up giving her a slap across the face. Six big guys picked me up. And that was fair enough. I mean, I probably shouldn't have done that. And I was out of the club. However, the best part is yet to come. A couple of months later in the south of France, I got back at her for being rude, having a one-night stand with Sean Penn.
Oh! Woo! What else do you know, Bridget? While we got you here. Oh, gee.
I think Madonna and Sean Penn should get back together. You know, it's one of those things where
made for each other.
Like divorced couples years later find each other. That could be one of the cases. Oh, man. I don't know. I hope that guy wins his lawsuit here because that was ridiculous. You couldn't print the tickets for a 10:30 show. It was not legal to do. Anyway, I'll leave that up to the courts. I won't get in the way. Let's just close this thing up.
The top five at five.